Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop. Happy to have on the line with me right now, president and head coach of the Syracuse Silver Knights, in their third season, have found their way to the MISL playoffs. The first time the Syracuse Silver Knights have clinched a playoff berth in their first season, went 9-15. Last year, 8-18, and this year, their first double-digit win season at 10-7 with a few games to go, three games to be exact, one on the road and two at home. The first one coming today against the Baltimore Blast, a big rival that the Syracuse Silver Knights have had, and they're looking to equal out their series. And so I'm happy to bring Tommy on to talk about everything that is going around the Syracuse Silver Knights in a very positive way for the community. Tommy, how you doing?
Good. Game yourself?
Doing very well. And Tommy, first and foremost, before we get into Baltimore, with this Syracuse Silver Knights team, with what you've been able to do this season, before we get into this game against Baltimore, like we talked about off the air, you didn't have to wait for anybody to lose, didn't have to hope for anything else to happen out of your control. What does it feel like to be where you are right now with this franchise that you've cared so much about and to be in the playoffs because of your hard work and the hard work of the players?
It's a great feeling. It just, you know, I wish it would have happened earlier, but, you know, again, I never look back. So it was, you know, it's exciting for us. I think we have a great opportunity to win the whole thing. And, you know, we still have three games left. You know, we want to win all three. I'd like to finish the season 13-7, which would be a great turnaround from 8-18 last year. And, you know, looking forward to the rest of the season.
When you look at that game that clinched it for you against the Rochester Lancers, this is a team that obviously you have your biggest rivalry with, the Thruway rivalry, and 4-1 against the Lancers this season. You'll see them one more time for to end out the season for the Syracuse Silver Knights. To do it against any other team, would it have been the same to make the playoffs, or was that even sweeter that it was Rochester?
Well, it was great because it was Rochester, to be honest with you. And, you know, they still had the opportunity to catch us. And, you know, I didn't want to have to not, you know, lose that game and then, you know, still be trying to sell playoff tickets because it had to beat us by 25, but we didn't clinch yet. So, you know, it was great to just knock them completely out of the playoffs, and, you know, and get ourselves ready for the playoffs.
Having that opportunity to get to where you are right now and have these next three games just help boost really you going into the playoffs and going in strong, like Michelle Millwood had talked to me. He said, you don't want to backpedal into the playoffs, and this was coming after one of the losses at home, and at that time Syracuse needed two games to get in. At the point that you're at right now, what are you getting around the locker room, around the environment of the team? Because I know that they had a tough go at it at home, and there was, you know, mentally some fatigue, so to speak, on the team. But how have they turned around, and how are they acting now that they know that there's going to be more to play for this season?
Well, you know, we lost 12-10 to Baltimore and 15-13 to Milwaukee, you know, first and second in the league, and, you know, at home. So we knew they were going to be tough games, and, you know, it was, you know, I think everyone's mindset was, hey, what are we doing? We got to be able to beat these guys. We can't keep making the same mistakes. And, you know, again, against Rochester, again, it's 10-10 with, you know, 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and we're able to get a huge 3-point goal, and which turns the game in our favor. And I think the difference between this season and last season is you know, we've won those games in the fourth quarter, although we still lost to Baltimore, Milwaukee late. But if you look at the rest of the games, we've won a lot of games in the fourth quarter, where the year before we didn't win any. So you know, we're just looking forward to the playoffs, and looking forward to tonight's game against Baltimore.
And looking at that game against Baltimore tonight, the record so far against the Blast this season is 1-2. So if you win in this game, you'll even out the series heading into the playoffs. Maybe you play Baltimore, depending on what Baltimore and Milwaukee end up doing to end out the season. But how important is this game for you, the mentality of the team, as far as evening a series with a team like Baltimore that obviously has been so successful and they're perennial contenders?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so worried about, you know, having to say we even the series to be able to, you know, beat Baltimore in the playoffs. I do think we're going to play Baltimore in the playoffs. I think we're going to, you know, if we were to win tonight and win out, we'll definitely play. You know, we'll finish third, I would think. But you know, I'm going to play. You know, we're going to play in three lines and make sure we stay healthy tonight. But you know, it's for the guys. You know, Slavisa's not here tonight because he's resting his back for tomorrow's game and didn't want to take him on the on the trip and then have to play back-to-back. But it gives an opportunity for guys who haven't played so much this year to be able to go in and you know, and show me that, you know, come playoff time they can play. And so we'll be using, we'll be running threes and making sure we stay healthy. And, you know, because we have another game tomorrow against Pennsylvania at home. Green Jersey Day, by the way.
And Tommy, when you have those back-to-back games, rounding out the season, getting ready for the playoffs, what do you think about, I mean, we've talked about the schedule before, having a game on the road in Baltimore, then have to travel back home and play a game in Syracuse the next day, and not even a night game, you're going to be playing in the middle of the day at 4 p.m. Eastern. What's that like for you? I mean, do you feel the team's been able to kind of bounce back in those situations, or do you still think that the road home back-to-back is something that maybe needs to be changed?
You know, we don't like it, obviously, but, you know, I mean, Baltimore has to play. You know, Baltimore's playing three games in 3 days. Pennsylvania's playing three games in 4 days. Rochester's playing, you know, two games in 3 days. So we're all doing it here at the end of the season. And you know, Milwaukee's playing two games in 3 days. So, you know, we're all doing it. And, you know, you just got to get the mentality. You know, when I played, everyone had to play three games in 3 days twice. So, you know, you got to get the mentality to be focused and take care of your body and get ready.
You going through that, like you said, in your history, playing three games in 3 days, what do you say to the team and how do you prepare them in practice? I mean, obviously, I've been there to see some of the things you do in drill work, but how do you mentally, physically prepare your team to be able to do back-to-back or three games in a row or three games in 4 days this season like they've had to do when they were on the road and then also in this situation where they're doing one on the road and one at home back-to-back?
I mean, it's just taking care of your body. They're professionals and, you know, they just need to be ready and just kind of, you know, dig deep and, you know, everyone, you know, it's funny, I had one player say to me, Coach, I go make a practice and I'm sore. And I'm like, you know, everyone's sore. You know, you have to train. You know, it's about, you know, getting your body ready for the game. You know, after the first game, you're never 100%, you know, for the season. So it's, you know, who can be, you know, as close to 100% when the playoffs get ready. And that's what we're focusing on doing.
Tommy, we talked about fourth quarter fatigue and how Syracuse has lost some games late in game situations, and you said this season, you know, that you've seen the team's been able to come back from what we talked about earlier in the season where there was a struggle in the fourth quarter. What can you attribute to what the Silver Knights have been able to do to close out games and to win the games that they need to win, like that Rochester game that put you in the playoffs?
I think our shifts are a little bit shorter this year. And we're able to have a little bit more energy in the fourth quarter. And we're able to keep the ball a little bit better in the fourth quarter. Even though we lost that Milwaukee game, that last minute and 30, we had the ball the entire time and probably created four chances. And if you can keep the ball in the fourth quarter and have opportunities, you know, there's a good chance you're going to win the game. And I think we've done a better job of being able to keep possession late in games and get the other team to a six attacker. And you know, I'm not a big believer in a six attacker only games. You know, so if we can get the other teams that are six attacker, you know, usually you're in pretty good shape.
Tommy, this game against Baltimore, I want to go into the matchup here and what your biggest concerns are for the Syracuse Silver Knights that you think Baltimore poses the biggest threat to, and also what it's like to play in Baltimore's arena and how the fans kind of react to the game and what the environment's like.
My biggest concern tonight is just making sure, you know, we follow runners. If you don't follow runners, I mean, Pennsylvania played Baltimore last night and, you know, it was close for the first quarter, it was 0-0, and then it ended up being 23-6. They have a couple mental lapses and a couple three-pointers, and, you know, we just need to be able to, you know, follow our runners and make sure we don't give up a lot of odd man rushes.
What's it like to play inside of Baltimore's arena?
It was great. I mean, last night they had 6,000 fans from Pennsylvania, and tonight I heard it's a bigger crowd than last night already. So, you know, it's always a good environment in Baltimore. They've been around forever, and the fans come out and support them. And again, I would love in Syracuse to be able to put 4,000 or 5,000 fans every single game, and you know, that's what we're working for, and that's what we need to get to.
Tommy, Green Jersey Night, let's look ahead here because you talked about that coming up very soon, right after your Baltimore game when you play Pennsylvania on Sunday the 23rd. And, what you know, describe to everybody what Green Jersey Night is and what you're looking to do and who it's going to be helping, because I know every year that you auction off jerseys, but this is kind of a special one in Green Jersey Night, never done it before. So what can fans expect from Green Jersey Night?
Well, I mean, for the jerseys are really, really cool. They're going to be look great. But you know, a few years back, I remember they were talking about canceling the parade, and because it wasn't enough funding for the St. Patrick's Day parade, and we know how important that is for our community, and so we decided this year to partner up with Kenny Hoynes and Carlsberg, and some other local businesses, and a portion of this money that we auction off is going to go to the parade, and just to make sure that there's that we're doing our part in the community, and making sure that something that's been here for a long time stays.
Whose jersey do you think is going to go for more, yours or Nelson Santana?
I'll go with Nelson Santana.
Now, Tommy, all jokes aside, another thing happened as far as giving back to the community and the Silver Knights Foundation. You had a banquet that just went on this past week, and share with everybody, what the Silver Knights Foundation is really looking to do in the community and what you have done and what it means to have a foundation through your team in the community of Central New York.
Well, with the Silver Knights, I mean, the guys, Pete Raymond and the rest of the board, did a just terrific job in putting on our first major event. It raised over $2,500 for the foundation, and the foundation is just trying to change, kids' lives one day at a time, and that's their goal. And the week before, the foundation sent 20 kids to a soccer camp, and I can't tell you how excited the kids were to be able to go to that camp for 2 days, how appreciative they were. Everyone came up and thanked me after. Parents came up and thanked me about allowing their kids to come. And, we're just trying to do our part of it. And it's not just about soccer. It's if someone needs, we hope to, for the arts or for the sciences and the camp, hopefully we're able to help those kids. It's not just about soccer. It's about just being a part of the community and helping all our inner city and refugee kids and those that need help to be able to do what everyone else can do.
Tommy, you have children of your own. How personal is it for you to know that you're raising children with your wife, and at the same time you're trying to help raise other children in the community and be a positive influence on them?
I mean, it's just that's the kind of person I am, and it's kind of the way our organization is. And I just it really bothers me when kids aren't able to do what every other kid can do. And again, we're just trying to do our part in being able to put on events and help kids and help change their lives, whether it's just for a couple of days. Those kids for a couple of days, they're on top of the world.
Before I let you go here, getting back on the field, I want to look to your team. We talked about Baltimore and what concerns you may have there. What are you looking at from the Syracuse Silver Knights when you have a game plan and kind of a checklist of the things you need to do against Baltimore? What are you looking for the guys to do in this game?
Well, we just need to get back and defend and then counterattack. That's kind of our style of play. Make sure we get five guys behind the ball, and once we do, we're really good going forward. Get the five guys behind the ball, draw them in, let them come at us, and then take the space in behind them.
Michelle Millwood obviously had a lot of positive history with the Baltimore Blast. You've had him, and you've seen his success, especially in the most recent game against the Rochester Lancers. What does Michelle Millwood bring to this team? I know we talked about it early in the season, but you've seen more games with him now in the Syracuse Silver Knights jersey. What does he bring to your squad, and how much has he given positively to what you're trying to do?
Well, I'll say he's probably given us 3 or 4 wins, which is the difference in being 10-7 or 7-10. If you look at just the three-pointer he scored last game, that put us up 13-10. The two-pointer that he scored against Pennsylvania when it's 14-14. His leadership, and he has 50-something points. I think he's fourth in the league in scoring. He's been, a terrific off-season pickup. And his leadership, although he doesn't train every day with us, his leadership in games is really, really good. His knowledge is really, really good. And people look up to him. I think, to be honest with you, he's one of the main, besides everyone else getting better, all my players becoming better indoor soccer players, he's been that one addition that we've made that's really, I think, a game changer.
Is this where you felt the team would be at this point in your third season, getting into the postseason? Are you right on schedule with where you want to be? Are you ahead of schedule? Where do you really stand from what your expectations were when the team first opened their doors?
I mean, when we started the season, I said, the key to making the playoffs is being 500 on the road and 7-3 at home. We've guarantees. You know, we're 5-4 on the road. So if we win tonight, we'll go to 6-4, and we're, you know, we're 5-3 at home. And if we can win our, if we can win our last two games against Pennsylvania or Rochester, which we should do, you know, playoff teams do they win at home. You know, we'll be 7-3. So, you know, when I said making the playoffs, you know, 500 on the road and 7-3 at home. Although we could be, you know, honestly, right now we could be, you know, 7-1 at home. You know, the Baltimore and Milwaukee loss, and you know, I tell the guys, I joke about it. We, you know, our record could be 15-2 right now. You know, take out the one Baltimore at Baltimore, and take out the at Milwaukee third game in 4 days. I don't think we should have lost any other games. So when I say we can win this whole thing, win the championship, I truly believe that, because I look at our record and I think, you know, although we're 10-7, we could be 15-2. So we're right there. And, you know, again, the playoffs are a different atmosphere, and you know, it's just about getting those guys ready for that atmosphere, because the Baltimores and Milwaukee's and Missouri's have all been in the playoffs, and they know what that atmosphere is all about. So we'll need to get there, and that's going to be March 7th at home, Dan. So if fans haven't gotten their tickets yet, make sure they call in and get their tickets to that game, because that game should be a sellout.
March 7th, big thing, never happened before for the Syracuse Silver Knights, never happened before in New York for this team in Central New York to do what they're doing right now. And lastly for you, Tommy, you talk about the big teams that you have to beat, the teams you're going to see in the playoffs, obviously Missouri, Milwaukee, and Baltimore. We talked about them at the beginning of the season and even before that. Your record against them this season is 1-6. Your record against the bottom three of the MISL is 7-3. We talked about those close games, but when you look at the 1-6 record, what does that do? I mean, have you seen that the Knights or your conversations with the guys, has this kind of put a chip on their shoulder knowing that the 1-6 record is against the teams that they're going to see coming up very soon, starting on March 7th?
I mean, you know, the 1-6 is not great, but, you know, we're you know, again, it's, you got to win your home game. If you win your home game, you go on the road for one. And if you don't win that, you got 15 minutes to play a whole, you know, 15 minutes, one quarter that gets you to the championship or not. And I'll take my chances with any team for 15 minutes. Win your whole playoff game. That's why it's so important that the community comes out March 7th and for that game. And you win your home game, and I've been in this situation. All the pressure turns to the home team, especially you're 15-2, or if Milwaukee's 18-2 and Baltimore 17-3 at the time. You know, they know they got to beat us in the first game, but then they got to beat us in the 15-minute game too. It's not easy. You know, Milwaukee can tell you that. Milwaukee actually won in Missouri last year and came home and lost both games.
Syracuse Silver Knights president and head coach Tommy Tanner. March 7th is the first playoff game. Before that, February 23rd and March 2nd. Three chances to see the Syracuse Silver Knights coming up, especially for the first time ever in the postseason. Tommy, it's a pleasure, and I want to tell you above all things, congratulations. As I was there with you when the name was getting unveiled and the logo was getting unveiled as well, I can't thank you enough for being a part of this organization through what you've allowed me to do, and congratulations for everything that you wrote on paper and all the sleepless nights you had to make this team get to Syracuse, for what you've accomplished at this point. Congratulations for that.
Thank you so much, Darren. Thank you for all your support.